in your attention for a little while this evening. I'd like to talk about something tonight that we all have the same amount of, at least on a daily basis we do. I'd like to talk to us about time. Could be take this in various different directions, but just start out by asking us a question. Is time working for you, or is time working against you? I think all of us adults kind of know what that means. Over here in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, I'd like to turn there. It says in verse 11 beginning, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. So we all have time. We all have 24 hours in the day. As long as time goes on, whether we're in sickness or in health, whether we're richer or poorer, we all have time. And the big question is how are we and what are we using our time for? Many times, time is something that we just take for granted and we don't really think about how I'm investing it or how I'm spending it. But I'd like for us tonight to think about that a little bit more. He says in verse 12, for man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in a snare, so are the sons of men, snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. We could go back through history, and I venture to say that we could probably find somebody that feels like that they live in one of the worst times that anyone could ever live. Today, we feel like we live in one of the most wicked, evil times that's ever happened in history. And I would guess that if we went back through history, even if we went back to the time of a period in time that was considered the Great Awakening in our United States, if you would talk to some of the contemporaries, maybe find something that was written back then, and we look on it today and say, my, there was revival meetings. They would have camp meeting for 2 weeks at a time. People was getting saved left and right. I would say if you read something that was written at that time, they would say they lived in the most wicked time. There was a man that preached a message that was part of that Great Awakening period called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And he felt like he lived in one of the most wicked times in history. And yet we look on it as a time in history when people were turning to God. So all of us here, this scripture says that it's just like that for the sons of men, snared in an evil time. I feel like we live in an evil time. I would venture if we went around the room tonight, most everyone here would say, I've never seen it like this before. I've never seen it in such a state where people call evil good and good evil. It's just blatantly, it's staring us in the face all the time. It's not just something that's hidden or something that's obscure. They seem to be very provocative with just calling evil good and good evil today. It says in verse 13, "This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city, and a few men there within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. And there was found in the little city, a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man." Now we'll stop right there, and I want to use this to introduce one of the thoughts that I've been thinking about. The writer here, the first we started with, says time and chance happen to us all. And we would all probably agree we live in a time that would be considered wicked, evil, all around us. It just seems like we hear something. Our news media is much more interested about propagating bad stories than there is good stories. When we had a 50th wedding anniversary, double 50th wedding anniversary celebration at the chapel here, if we'd have let the Joplin Globe know about it, and they sent a reporter out, if they did that, and if they put it in the newspaper, it would probably be a couple lines on the back page down at the bottom in the fine print. Right? They wouldn't put it on the front that says, two couples has made it to the 50th anniversary by the grace of God. Would that make it on the front page of the newspaper? No way. But if somebody had done some heinous crime in an obscure location, that'd make it on the front page. Well, we live in an evil time. I believe that. But notice what happened here. In this little city that was besieged by a great king, it seemed like the odds were against them, right? Now, do you think the people in the city felt like they lived in an evil time? I would say they did. They felt like they lived in the worst time in history, because here they were, a little city minding their own business, and some king of a great big place came against them. But the way the story turns out, that Ecclesiastes, the writer here, gives us, is that the little city didn't get demolished by the king of the great city, right? And it was all because, it said, the wisdom of a poor wise man. And I don't know what, it doesn't tell us what plan that he come up with, or strategy, or technique. It doesn't tell us how he was able to deliver this little city, but something happened. So I want us to think about this time and chance. You spend your time, I spend my time. What makes the difference many times is what we choose to do with our time. Now, this poor wise man could have said, nobody's going to listen to me anyway. They didn't remember him after it was all over with. I don't know if he single-handedly done something, or if he gave some advice and they actually listened for a little while. We don't know those details. But it says that he's the one that was able to bring deliverance for this city. Many times, it's our decision of what I'm going to do with my time that makes a big difference. There is a time that an old saying, a couple old sayings that come to my mind, is the time to strike. I probably remember not got this exactly right. Yeah, time to strike the iron is when it's hot. I used to work for a fellow, he was kind of my manager, that said, the time to see the elephants is when the circus is in town. Well, in the North American continent, it's not very common to see an elephant, especially in years past. So if you wanted to see an elephant, that'd be the time is when the circus came to town, so to speak. So this man that was able to help the little city defend itself or deliver itself, he saw not just an opportunity to elevate himself, but the time was right for him to share the wisdom that he had. And all of us here, there's a right time. Many times we feel inspiration. We feel like it's time to speak up. It's time to act. It's time to do something. Maybe it's an opportunity you've been kind of hoping for or praying about. If you just had a chance to, whatever it was, a door to open a little bit, you'd step through it. And when the door starts to crack a little bit, it's the time. The time to act is when the water's troubled. You remember that story? Over in John, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse, it says the impotent man had answered Jesus when Jesus came and talked. Let's turn over there and read that. St. John, the 5th chapter. And notice what the exchange here was between Jesus and the man, that he couldn't get to the water. In the 5th chapter of John, and we'll start reading maybe a little bit above that. And 5th verse, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time to deal with something where you couldn't. We assume that all 38 years he was not able to walk. And it says, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And the man's response to him was, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I'm coming, yet another step down before me. So he's lying on his something. I don't know if it was a mattress type thing, some kind of maybe something to keep him up off the ground a little bit. I don't know who helped him get there. But I don't know how close he was to the water, but he's waiting for the water to be troubled, for the angel to come down and trouble the water. And there's other people that's there too. And he's waiting. It's kind of like going through a traffic circle. You're waiting for the right time to get in and go around. And he's waiting for the water to be troubled. And what does he do? I don't know. I'm just picturing in my mind here. Maybe when the water starts to be troubled, he throws himself off the bed and he starts rolling across the ground to get in the water. I don't know. It's just, he couldn't walk. Maybe he's somehow pulling himself along with his arms, but just before he gets there, somebody else gets in and they get healed. Now what has he got to do? He's got to somehow get back over there to his cot, his mattress, whatever it was he's on. And so he's in that. He's been doing that for 38 years. It's kind of hard for us to wrap our minds around in it. But he said, Lord, I can't get there. Nobody's here to help me. But he knew that the right time was when the angel troubled the water. So there's a time for us. There's a time for all things. There's a time to be born. The scripture tells us that. There's a time to enter into an occupation. And just thinking about my time in life. Time has been in my favor for the majority of my life. I had time to recover from a bad decision or a bad choice. There's been people that's made bad decisions when they were young, and I'm not saying I made all good ones, but I've had time to recover from those. I've had time to change courses, change careers, all those kind of things. But time's not really in my favor for those things now. If I made a really bad decision, maybe in my relationships with other people, maybe a bad, really bad financial decision, I don't think time's in my favor to be able to recover from that. too late to start a new career. I'm getting down to the twilight of my working years anyway, right? I mean, that's what Social Security people tell us. So I'm down. It's not time for me to start out to be a building contractor, although that sounds kind of interesting to me. Don't be looking forward to me doing something like that or starting a business, this and that. I'm just not going to happen because time's not in my favor. The only time that's still in my favor is a time to build a relationship with the Lord. I still got time for that. Last night when we was down in Tulsa, got to talk to Brother Ted and Brother Doty, I believe his name is. They were there, kind of running buddies now. Both of them lost their companions, and they're able to get out and about still. And you know, they still got time. They can cultivate their relationship with the Lord. If I live as long as they do, I want to still be doing the same things that they're doing. And time is in our favor to cultivate our relationship. It doesn't matter that I can't go, you know, I don't have time to recover from something else. I've got time for the Lord now. I was thinking of the account we have here in Luke, the 19th chapter, in the 9th verse. It says here, 19 and 9 of Luke, he said, "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham." You remember who he's talking to here? He's talking to Zacchaeus. And he said, today, this is the time, this is your opportunity, and the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That is verse 10. And this man had already said, Lord, the verse above that, he says, Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. This man meant business, and he took advantage of the opportunity. We know that Zacchaeus ran ahead of the crowd and climbed up in a tree so he could catch a glimpse of Jesus. He knew that. He's kind of like the man that was laying by the pool. He knew that the time was right. The time was right for him to get to see Jesus. If he was ever going to have an opportunity to have a one-on-one, I saw him with my own eyes, this was his time. So, Lord, help us to take advantage of the time, the opportunity we have to draw close to the Lord. I can fritter my time away. You know, I can get up late and go to bed early, and I can be I could cultivate depression, couldn't I? There's people that allow themselves to go from one negative thought to another negative thought, and pretty soon you don't feel like doing anything. You probably won't do anything. But I can do the same. I can realize my opportunity is to, I can draw my heart in, I can draw my mind in closer to the Lord. This is an opportunity for me to cultivate that relationship, and I want to take advantage of that. Time is in our favor today to do that. But what about tomorrow? You know, things could happen between now and tomorrow. I went to bed last night, and I don't know what happened in the night. I just know I got up this morning, and there's all kinds of little small limbs about this long that's kind of scattered all over my yard. Apparently, we had a pretty good wind last night. I don't know when it happened. But, you know, I could have not woke up this morning. And then time wouldn't be in my favor. Right now, time is in my favor. Time, I chose to spend my time this evening coming here, and you did too. And we can use our time and capitalize on our opportunity, just like the man that was by the pool. He knew that if he could only get in the water, he knew what the signs were. The man, Zacchaeus, knew that his opportunity to see Jesus was a pretty narrow window, and he was going to make the best of it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. First two verses here. He says, "We then as workers together with him, with Christ," is who he's referring to, "beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the opportunity for us to advance our holdings just a little bit. Now is the opportunity to invest a little bit more, to gain a little more understanding." We refer to the end of time as the judgment day sometimes, and I believe it is. I believe that it's the ultimate test, if you will. We're either going to be acceptable or not acceptable. The time to prepare is not then, it's now. The time for us to be ready for the test is now. So I'd like to just encourage us and challenge us not to allow time and our opportunity to slip away from us, but to cultivate and use our time as wisely as we know how. Don't allow the enemy to steal our time to where it's gone and we didn't use it for the right thing. You got the same amount that I've got. We all have maybe different obligations and different responsibilities, and we're at different stations in life. Some of us have more work responsibilities, and some of us have more obligations with family duties and household duties, and we're at a different place. Well, we all have time, and what am I doing with it? Am I using it in a way that I can advance my walk with the Lord, or am I letting that time get away and spending it on something that won't really benefit my soul? So that's my little thought this evening. I want you to be challenged and encouraged that maybe some of us here, time's not on our side to start a new career. Time's not on my side to do that. But I'll tell you what side time is on. Time's on the side of me cultivating my relationship with the Lord. And I can do that almost in any state I find myself. I can be where I can't physically move, and I can still cultivate my relationship with the Lord. I could be blind and I could still cultivate my relationship with the Lord. I could be deaf and still cultivate my relationship with the Lord. I could be mute, not able to speak, and I could still cultivate my relationship with the Lord. I've always been challenged by Anita's grandpa. We called him Grandpa Eck when I was in the family, come into the family, and he, I don't know that he ever was able to, I'm sure he saw me when I was a little boy. He went blind in his later years. But when I came into the family, if I would stand between him and the window where the sun was coming in, he could kind of see my silhouette. That's about all he could see. But he didn't know what I looked like. But he, if you went to visit him, you're liable to find him. He might be sitting in his recliner and pick up his banjo and pick at his banjo a little bit and be singing a song that we would have in our book. And he got to where he didn't do that very much, but he'd have a cassette player there, and he had a box of tapes. And I can remember him tapes of the whole Bible on a tape. And I can remember Wednesday night prayer meeting, him testifying that he was sitting there, and I don't know where his thoughts were, but he said, "I just thought I'd listen to the Word a little bit and get a tape and plug it in and start playing that little cassette tape of the Scripture." And he said, "It seemed like the Lord just helped me pick the right tape, and it was just right where I needed it, and it's just something that blessed his heart." And he would come. What was he doing? He was cultivating his relationship with the Lord. And if you were there very long, somebody would come to his mind and he would start to pray for him. You know, I want to have that kind of... I want to use my time more for that kind of cause. And I'm challenged tonight to do better. You know, I talked this morning about being a rock in the billows. He's one of those. Because he spent his time in a way that proved to us that his relationship with the Lord was important. And he cultivated that. Couldn't see. Got to where he couldn't walk. And he used to tell us he had sleepy fingers. His fingers got to where he didn't have much feeling in them. And he would drop things sometimes and all of that. So he had sleepy fingers, eyes that couldn't see, and it hurt him to try to walk. There, his last few years, he used a walker. But he still cultivated his relationship with the Lord. And he found a way to do it. There's people today that have found a way to make a living. There's people that's found a way to succeed in life. And I know I'm thankful for the examples of those that have found a way to cultivate their relationship with the Lord. There's people, I believe today, that are Christians in some of the most toxic societies on this earth. People that's surrounded by Islam, that's surrounded by idolatrous practices, and people that are by majority, they could do something violent to someone that professed Christianity. There's people that's Christians and those kind of... Brother Michael's made contact. People in Afghanistan, it's not very friendly over there for a Christian. Lord, help us to take advantage of time. It's on my side. That's about the only thing at my age that time is on my side. But time's still on my side, and I want to use it in the right way. You pray for me.